Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today, we take a deep dive into cybersecurity frameworks as it relates to managed services, as we're joined by Stephen Nichols, Director of Solutions Engineering for Acronis. We get into what frameworks like NIST are, how they work, and what they mean for MSPs. We discuss staying ahead of regulations, how frameworks elevate the customer's conversation around security, long-term planning, and how frameworks help MSPs manage risk and liability. And we tackle questions like, should you allow your customers to opt out of recommended security services? And how do frameworks help you during and after a breach that may be suffered by a customer? It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Stephen Nichols of Acronis. Stephen, thanks for taking the time. Lovely to chat with you.
Excellent. Yeah, looking forward to the conversation. I think it'll be an interesting one.
Interesting is a good word for it because, if there's one truth about, if there's one truth about security is it's fundamental to just about any tech solution. If there's a second, it's not an easy field. It's an ever-changing market. It's an ever-changing threatscape. Let's start it with, what can I as an MSP do to stay current, to make sure I know not just the threatscape, not just the, who's out there to get me and my customers, but what are the regulations that are out there that affect me and how are they changing?
You know, I think that's a question I often get when I'm talking to MSPs, right? When we start talking about how do I stay ahead of regulations? The simplest thing that I say is most of the time, if you're chasing the regulation, you're behind the market. You're behind what you should be doing. Regulations tend to be reactive. Every now and then when a new regulation comes out, it will be current for a short period of time. Certainly, it's important to be, kind of what's going on in the regulatory space. And I think that's more important. Let's look at, for example, some of the trends that are going on. One of the biggest things we've seen is that there's been regulations in place that provide guidance for a long time. And we've seen that the size of the organizations that are required to comply with those keep getting smaller and smaller. Looking at those types of trends, basically making sure that, maybe you're just looking at the fact you have, you're not required to follow a regulation. Maybe you still want to look at that as kind of best practice. Because at some point it probably is going to impact your business. And then in addition to that, it really is about understanding more where the threats are coming from and looking maybe at some of the frameworks behind those regulations as opposed to being compliant to the letter of those regulations.
Right. So sort of if you've got those frameworks in place, those best practices in place, you should be good for at least a good percentage of the regulation that comes along and at least well prepared for that you may not be ready for day one.
Yeah. And then you're looking at small incremental things that you're doing to be regulatorily compliant, as opposed to suddenly doing major overhauls in business practices or, products that you're using or whatever it is. Because there may from time to time be a regulatory compliance that means you now have to implement, everywhere something you've been doing most places. That's a much smaller lift than trying to, wait for something to become a regulation before you make a plan to address that vulnerability.
You mentioned sort of using frameworks and those kinds of things to make sure that you're on top of that. You hear about NIST and want to kind of get a feel from you for, I guess maybe let's start with sort of the 101. It's something that I think a lot of folks who are hearing this probably know, but a good refresher and a good thing to have for those who don't, sort of the basics of what NIST is, what it encompasses, and basically how these security frameworks tie into an MSP's operation and their security practices.
Yeah, so by, most of the frameworks, and NIST is a great one. It's one of the more well-known ones, but there are some other frameworks that are out there that what they look at is they look at security in a comprehensive way. So it's not just about, you know, oh, in this particular case, these are the three things you need to do. It's originally the NIST framework was developed, you know, many, many years ago to protect, for basically have kind of a way to look at protecting critical infrastructure. So there was, as the threat of ransomware started to evolve, and there was a recognition that critical infrastructure was easy to target because it was behind the times in being protected. The NIST framework was really designed to put in place those kind of core requirements. And so there's a set of pillars that, you know, or, you know, kind of ideas that are in NIST, and it kind of goes through, you know, a series of things. So it's about identifying, protecting, detecting, responding, and recovering. And that looks, so it looks at, you know, the entire life cycle of a, you know, of a security incident, but also at the, you know, just, you know, a bunch of best practices throughout that. Now, the original NIST framework that came out was very useful and very quickly started getting adopted, A, outside of the United States, right? It started being, you know, Canadians started using it. People in Africa started using it. People in Europe started to see the value again, because it is a good way of looking at things through a broad lens. And it started being used well beyond critical infrastructure. And that's, so when they released the previous update, which was the 1.1, that came out in 2006. Sorry, the original one, 2006, and then 2013, that kind of updated version came out. And with that, started to recognize that, you know, it was more being more broadly used, and there was some additional things that had evolved in as far as threats go. So they just recently released the even newer version of that. Again, everything's iterative, everything grows. And some of the things particularly that are interesting related to, you know, why now and why do it. First of all, fairly long consultation process with many different people, even, you know, other kind of Canada, lots of people from Canada were involved in consulting on what it should be. People who are, you know, security experts who deal with this on a day-to-day basis understand what the threats look like, what the best practices look like. In addition to that, it really is kind of a, again, a comprehensive approach. And as an MSP, if you're just looking at regulations, if you're just looking at what cyber insurance is telling you have to have, there may be areas that you're missing, and you may not be offering a solution. The other really nice thing about the cybersecurity framework is it offers a way to have a conversation with your customers around security. So you can talk about that whole process, and looking at that sort of life cycle of a workload or an incident or anything like that, and be able to understand, you know, in each of those pillars, what are we doing today, and maybe identify, hey, we're really good at these three. Here are the two today where, you know, you may be missing some capabilities. How can we close those gaps so when something happens, you're prepared for?
I suspect that last bit sort of informs and maybe even at least in part answers this. But if I'm an MSP just kind of spinning up security or getting serious about security as a practice, and I want to, basically, what does it look like for me to go from sort of zero to building around a NIST or another framework like that? What does it look like operationally for me to make that transition?
Yeah, so which is kind of one of the nice things about the framework is because it is so broad, the first thing you probably want to do is understand it. There's lots of good partners out there who can help you with that. The MSP community is actually fairly engaged already in understanding these types of frameworks. And in addition to that, I would say once you have a basic understanding of those pillars, and you understand, you know, what's meant by things like identify and protect and remediate and all that kind of thing, recover. What you're the next thing I would do is look at your current processes and your current product offerings and map them to that. So you can do the same thing with CIS controls. You can do it like with, it doesn't have to be NIST, but a framework, and say, okay, so here's sort of best practice in each of these areas. What are we doing today that addresses those things? And then where are the where's the low-hanging fruit? Where's the stuff that, for example, maybe you have a let's take a specific example of multi-factor authentication, right? Mm-hmm. Definitely part of a best practice for security. So maybe it's a case where you have multi-factor available, but you're not enforcing it. So it could be simply a matter of looking at things like that, where you may already have a tool and a process. Now you're going to make that a standard. Those types of things are usually the easiest ways to get started. And then where areas where you may have gaps, look at, is there a product? Is there a service? Is there someone I can partner with to make adoption of that particular thing easier? And then the other thing I would do if I was, new to this approach, if I was, maybe I was more on a break fix in the past, and I wanted to become more proactive, and security was one of the tools that I wanted to use to get into that, I would make sure that I have the vocabulary to talk about security from a risk perspective, as opposed to from a fear perspective. And the reason that's important is, you as an MSP need to understand and be able to communicate the risk of not doing these things. Because if you just try to use fear and say, oh, you have to do it because otherwise you're in trouble, you're not going to build long-term relationships with your customers. You're not going to, address those issues. If you can talk about risk though, you can say, so here's what you're doing today. Here is, where things are going as far as the types of threats that are out there and how they work. And if we don't, looking at this, place in this pillar of the, in this framework, for example, if we don't implement some of these solutions, the likelihood that if you were to have some kind of ransomware event, your ability to be able to, the cost to you for that event is going to be greater than the cost of paying for the proactive solution. And I think that those are conversations that business owners are much more likely to be respond to, as opposed to when you just do them based on fear.
I think that's a great way to solve for one of the traditional challenges, I think, of selling security, which is you need your customer to be aware and to be appropriately, not frightened, but appropriately concerned about the risks that are out there. But yeah, selling on fear is both not a lot of fun and certainly can be a turnoff.
Yeah, for sure. And, although it can be a short-term strategy, right? There may be cases where, someone has had some kind of an incident.
And, I was going to say, particularly in those moments afterwards, yeah.
Right. And then that now suddenly their tolerance for, proactively spending money to prevent that sort of thing from happening again. But the reality is, I think a lot of particularly small and medium businesses have this idea, oh, we're too small. We don't have any data that anyone wants. And the reality is, the analogy that I use is a lot of these attacks is much more like somebody walking down the street pulling on car door handles, and they're looking for the car door that's unlocked. It's not that they're, I'm going to target the expensive brands, or I'm going to, because those ones people tend to protect better, right? Those are the ones that are more likely to be alarmed in a garage, maybe have a camera surveilling them. It doesn't mean that they're going to be protected 100%. There are always ways to defeat lots of things that get put in place, which is why a comprehensive solution like NIST is important. But at the same time, those smaller businesses tend to be the ones that aren't being as proactive. And as a result, they're the ones who are more likely to have that unlocked car door that vulnerability that hasn't been patched, the most modern antivirus, anti-malware solution, things like that.
So on the point of risk and reward, but taking it from the MSP's point of view, what is working towards one of these frameworks do, both in terms of my revenue and kind of the risks that I'm facing as a business with command, control, possession of my customers' data?
Yeah, so first of all, it's a great tool to have regular, proactive sales conversations with your customers. So if you are, if you're looking for something to be able to sit down at a QBR or just a regular, update meeting, having a framing vehicle, like a framework, to be able to talk about and say, here's the things we're doing for you as a customer under these things. Here is our recommendations as to how we can do more under these. That becomes, helps you with a more of a long-term planning approach and a proactive approach. And it becomes about not you trying to sell them a new feature as much as trying to fix a problem for them. So it changes the nature of that conversation. So ultimately, that can increase the amount of revenue that you're getting. And if you're selling those services in a profitable way, that means that's going to translate into more profit for you as an MSP. But the flip side of that is when you as an MSP take on any responsibility of managing security for a customer, inherent with that is you are taking on risk and liability. And so definitely your contracts need to reflect that. You should definitely make sure you have insurance. Make sure you have, whether it's errors and omissions or cybersecurity insurance, but you also need to make sure that you have, clear language of the demarcations in the contract between you and your customers of where that liability lies. And at some point, if there is a breach and there is some kind of remediation that has to happen financially, when you get there and you have to show, hey, we did what we needed to do as an MSP to protect the client, having that framework, A, shows you're looking at the bigger picture. You're not just following the absolute minimum of requirements from a regulation and checking boxes, but you're actually more strategic in that approach. It also frames the conversations where if they are opting out of things, and that's a whole field of, do you give them the option to opt out? And that's a whole topic in and of itself. But let's assume that that is the case, that you are doing that, that those NIST conversations, that framework, that broader picture gives you another opportunity to document the fact that explain the risk. They made an informed decision about what they were opting out of. It wasn't just how much is it going to cost me? It is a broader risk conversation. That puts you on a stronger footing to defend the fact that you were doing your diligence in order to allow them to make an informed decision to opt out. The reality is, some people are just not going to see the value of proactively paying for those things. But at the same time, when you bring in that conversation about risk as opposed to about functionality, or this is a requirement you need to have, you do two things: easier to sell and a stronger leg to stand on as far as defensibility, that you've gone through the motions you needed to, and that they opted out even though they should have had that feature in place.
But we've talked a lot about kind of setting it up and the whys and wherefores of that. Want to get kind of into the what happens? How do these frameworks work? What impact do they have during a response or during an incident? Sorry, and afterwards when you're post-mortem and dealing with it. Basically, we talked about kind of building the business around this, but when that unfortunate thing happens and a customer is affected, how does the framework fit in there, and how do MSPs within that framework react and deal with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of things that I kind of like to talk about when I'm working with MSPs around this. So first of all, there's a concept that's becoming more and more popular in the MSP community, which is left of boom, right of boom, and center of boom. And boom basically being that incident, right? So it comes from a, you know, a military origin, right? And it's basically, you know, you consider an attack as that boom. So there's a, the framework actually is built around a very similar idea, right? Of being able to look at, you know, there's a bunch of stuff you need to do before something happens. There's stuff that you need to have in place so that when it's happening, you can mitigate the impact of it. And you need to have some stuff that you can deal with that helps you to, you know, get back to business, right? So that right. stuff that is, you know, over here at the right of boom. And that really comes down to a combination of processes, people, and technology. So when we talk about this stuff, you know, the preparation, right? You want to make sure that you understand what the environment looks like, you know, that identify, right? You're not missing stuff. There aren't things falling through the cracks. But when you actually talk about the, you know, when something's actually happening, the first of all, part of a well-defined approach using that framework includes things like rehearsing attacks, right? Mm-hmm. So going through it's not the first time that you are dealing with and using software and using processes and that people are sitting down and dealing with it isn't the real, when you have a real incident, right? Right. There's a reason that large buildings do fire drills to evacuate the building when mm-hmm. the building is not on fire. Because the first time you do those things, they never go exactly as planned. You're going to find other things that are, they're going to be there. You're going to find gaps. You're going to find places you can improve. And when we can remove the anxiety and the emotions, because it's not a real incident, you can much more calmly prepare for those things. So that when it happens, you have a playbook, you know what you're going to actually do. You've tested, you know that your data is recoverable, that you're following best practices, that, you know, you have critical workloads, maybe that you need to, you know, DR those workloads, right? You need to disaster recovery them, because without those workloads, the business is offline. And it's about knowing what everyone in the organization, right? Both the customer and the MSP actually know what to do when there's an incident. So that way they're going through and implementing a plan. And that's one of the biggest things, how having a framework can help in an actual incident, because you're not now trying to figure out what to do. You actually know what you're going to do. And that makes far more successful at mitigating an incident, and far less impact of that incident financially for the customer.
All right, so it's sort of the training, the building muscle memory aspect of it, as
exactly. Yeah.
All right. We've covered a lot of ground. Is there anything else that MSPs need to know at this kind of a 101 structuring kind of level around security frameworks and how they impact their business?
Well, other than the fact that the threat landscape continues to change and evolve, so I would definitely, if you know, just because you think you've got a good handle on it today, it is something that we're continuing education is very, very important.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely think that there's lots of good resources that are out there. Most of the events that I go to where MSPs are present, it's not even just the presentations from vendors or industry experts that are coming in. It's mm-hmm. the side conversations from MSP to MSP, right? There's lots of different kind of best practices and things to think about. Oh, this is how I use this in order to have this conversation with the customer. Or, you know, we talked earlier about the opting out. I've heard lots of conversations between MSPs about firing customers, you know, about having minimal standards. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Saying, you know, here's our absolutely, you have to have these things in order to do business with us. These are the table stakes of the things that you must be implemented. And I think, because you have to remember not just the liability to the MSP, but the cost of mitigation, having, if you've got a proper solution in place, again, going back to process, people, and technology, all three are part of that solution. Mm-hmm. If you've got that in place, even, you know, the reality is incidents are going to happen. Attacks are going to happen.
Yeah.
It's, you know, are they, what you can mitigate is how successful it is and how much it costs to remediate. And having things like proper EDR, antivirus, anti-malware in place to catch an incident sooner, as opposed to once it's made done more damage. Having really good backups that are secure. Following that 3-2-1 rule, getting something local for a fast recovery, but something segregated, ideally in a cloud-based solution where that you've got an immutable storage, so that you can recover from that where if there is any data loss locally. But having all of those things in place, if you're doing those, even when an attack happens and you have a process to recover, the cost to do that is lower. If you don't have those things in place, now you're looking at, well, maybe we have to pay the ransom. Maybe you're looking at, okay, well, no, we can probably undo this, but it's going to be hundreds of hours of a tech working with it. And as a result, there's a lot of things where MSPs, if they're just doing the bare minimum, as soon as you have that could destroy your profitability if you have a couple of major incidents with your customers in a period of time, because it's also going to pull you then off dealing with all of the other day-to-day stuff, right? It's all hands on deck when you're dealing with the major attack.
All right. A lot of great insights in there. Thanks so much, Stephen. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been a good conversation. Hopefully there's some interest from some MSPs in order to kind of take a look at, frameworks like NIST, and also understanding that, it's they need to be keeping up to with not just the regulations, but what's going on in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. We should have maybe another one of these sessions to talk about those that idea of opting out and what the minimum expectations of customers are. That sounds like a very interesting conversation to have in the future.
Oh, I would definitely be open to having that conversation, because I think it's one that is going on at MSPs today, and having kind of getting that out and kind of talking about some of those things would be super interesting.
Sounds good. We shall chat then.
Perfect. Thank you.
There you have it, a look at cybersecurity frameworks for MSPs, courtesy of Stephen Nichols from Acronis. I'd like to thank Stephen for joining us for the show. Thank you, Acronis, for their support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening today. And dear listener, be sure to check in the show notes for links to a trial, a promo, and a one-on-one demo from Acronis. The podcast will be back in the near future, so please leave your ears open for us. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to or follow the podcast in your podcast app of choice. And if it allows you to do so, please do leave us a review and a rating. Until next time, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you around the channel.